Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
Tonight we have a very special minister, changed my life. And before we get started, how many of y'all have one of these things? If you have one of these things, style it, please. Tonight, Joseph Silva will be teaching us. And before he comes up, I want to share just a couple of things about my relationship with Joseph. After he graduated from college, he became an English teacher and a speech teacher in a high school, and then became the guidance counselor. Was doing very, very successful, had his life all mapped out, didn't have to worry about money or anything like that. And then one day he got a rhema word of God. He told Joseph that he wanted Joseph to go on the road teaching people about a deeper life. So guess what Joseph said? Okay, I can do that. So for 13 years he did that, and he came to our church, and I met with him for about a year once a week, and he poured his life into me. So I know the Lord much deeper, and give us a hand for Joseph Silva. Come on up, Joseph.
I'm going to pass these out.
Joseph has lots to start.
Well, bless the Lord. Praise God. It's so wonderful that the Lord has allowed me an open door again for me to minister the truth to you. Just so wonderful, and it's so wonderful that our shepherd, Gary Washburn, gave us permission to photocopy these charts for you. And it's so wonderful the relationship I have with him. It's very amazing. We have a very, very intimate relationship. And the reason why we have such a close relationship with each other is that we both have the same passion. We both have the same passion to know truth, and we thank God for that. I hope we have enough charts. And if you don't get a chart, please give me your name and address on a slip of paper before you leave, and I'll see that I'll mail you one. This chart is very important. Praise God. Now you might say, what is a chart? You see, you can hear with your ears teaching, but with a chart you can see it, and that makes it much, much better. And so but before I get started, I want to say something to you here about this. This is something I've been born from above 76 years, and I never had run across this piece of truth I'm going to be sharing you right now, and this is not the message. But it's a positively amazing. And it's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. This is from different translations. And it says this: and he himself gave to the church some to be apostles, and Goodspeed translation says missionaries, some to be prophets, others to be evangelists, and some shepherds. And in the Greek, The word for that's been translated pastor is poimen, P-O-I-M-E-N. And that the best translation is it's a shepherd, not pastor. And the translation pastor is a very weak word. It's God called them to be shepherds. And I have two Greek New Testaments, and I check both of them, and both of them have poimen. Say it. Can you say it? Poimen. And that means shepherd. And he gave some to be the ability to guide and teach people with teachers. And so this is the calling that God has put upon my life to be a teacher. And a teacher takes something that's very complicated And they make it very simple and very easy to understand. That's the work of a teacher. But I want you to notice why God gave these five different callings. And I want you to notice in the very next verse, the very Ephesians 4:12, it tells us the reason why God gave these five different callings. And notice what it says. It says, in order for the immediate fitting and equipping of God's people for the work of the ministering, for the edifying and building up of the body of Christ. Why did God give those five ministries? Why? It's to equip you to carry out the ministry. The fivefold ministry is not to do the work of the ministry. Our job is to train and teach you for you to do the work of the ministry. You see that in the word? Wow, that's different. Well, I'm going to read that again. In order, what for? What's the fivefold ministry? In order for the immediate fitting and equipping of God's people for the work of ministering. You're here to learn. So in a sense, we're having a Bible class tonight. And I'm going to prepare you to teach your own disciples. You realize that you've got people in your world that I'll never reach. Shepherd Washboy will never reach, but you will reach them. And I want you to take some good notes tonight on this message. And I might say this message that I'll be ministering to you is not milk nor meat. It's strong meat. And the point is this. And you notice in verse 13 what it says in Ephesians 4:13. This shall continue until we all advance and attain that same unity of the faith and the perfect knowledge of the Son of God and reach the stature of mature manhood and measured by nothing less than the full stature of Christ. God wants you to grow up. Amen. And I want you realize that you, every one of you that's born from above, you're in the ministry. Amen. Isn't that what the word says? The fivefold ministry is to equip you and prepare you so you can go out from this building and teach your own disciples. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Praise God. Well, let me say, now when you entered the building this evening, you didn't realize you're going to a college Bible class, were you? But that's exactly what you're in right now. I'm going to teach you some truth that I want you to take and share with people that don't know the word of God and disciple them. And that's exactly, you know, you realize in Matthew 28:19, it's Jesus said this, go ye therefore and make disciples. A disciple is a learner. Go and make them. And so I trust and pray you will, that you be a teacher of disciples. Now, I want to explain this chart to you. Now, notice the title of it. Is there anybody who doesn't have a chart? Oh, there. Please give me your name and address, and I'll mail them to you. Okay. Notice it says, a born from above spiritual child of God. And that word spiritual means 100% out of God. In the book of Romans, it says, for we know that the law is spiritual. Now, you've got to realize that when God uses a word, you have to say, God, what did you mean when you used that word? We get the definition from what God says from God himself. And God says in Romans, the fourth chapter, it says, for we know that the law is spiritual. The law came 100% out of God. God didn't go to Moses and say, Moses, do you have any ideas what I ought to put in the law? You got a few ideas. He didn't go to Gabriel or any of the archangels. It was 100% out of God. And you realize that when you are born from above, that newly created spirit that's in you is spiritual. It is 100% out of God. And it's absolute perfection. It doesn't have to grow. It doesn't have to change. It's perfect. In fact, in Matthew 5, in 5:48, Jesus said this. In the King James, it says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. But Jesus didn't say that. In the Greek, you know what Jesus said in the Greek? He said, you shall be perfect. That's what he said. You shall be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. And the reason why he used the future tense, because these people he was talking to were in the Old Testament. They weren't born from above. They didn't have a new spirit. They didn't have the divine nature. They didn't have a renewed mind. So Jesus was saying, you shall be perfect. Praise God. And that happened the instant you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And then another thing in the Greek, it's in the punctiliar. You say, what in the world is punctiliar? It means instantly, bang, like that. Jesus said, you're going to be perfect, like that. And the moment you received Jesus like that, you became perfect, that new spirit within you. Isn't that beautiful? Woo! Punctiliar. Well, praise God. Now, let me explain this chart. In about 11 o'clock on the chart, you notice it says logos, and that's the written word of God. And the logos is the word of God for everybody who's ever been born. That's the logos. Now, if you notice about four o'clock, it has rhema. And the Greek have two words for word. One is logos, the other one is rhema. Logos, as I said, is for everybody. Rhema is specific. The Virgin Mary received a rhema. It was a specific word or message to a specific person at a specific time. You see, a person, time, message, a message, and then the purpose to provide the Savior. So a rhema, and then you notice that a rhema goes directly to your spirit, directly. It bypasses everything. It goes directly to your spirit. And if you want to know a definition of what God's definition of a rhema, go to Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 to 13, and you have God's description of what a rhema is. Now, the point of God, now you notice this, when you hear the logos, it is your sea gate and your hear gate, and it goes into your mind. And then it flows into your heart. Whatever you hear, it flows into your heart. And then you notice that the spirit, in fact, I ran out of room to put all the wonderful things that's in your spirit, if you're born from above, and what's in the spirit flows into the heart. And out of the heart comes the issues of life. And you know, and here's a message I want to give you tonight. God has specifically and emphatically told all those who are born from above to purify their hearts. Now, what are the exact and precise steps we must take in order to obey him? God said, purify your hearts. Now, what's the steps that we are to take? The Bible doesn't give us specifically, like in chapter 5 or some book in the Bible. It doesn't give it to us. We have to get the word of God together. Now, you must remember that whatever is in your mind will flow into your heart. You cannot stop it. God says, renew your mind. And that's in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know what that is in the Greek? It's in the present imperative. Present tense means that you are to renew your mind today, tomorrow, next year. As long as you're alive on planet Earth, you are to renew your mind. Amen. That's number one. Imperative means it's a command. God commands us in Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 2, renew your mind. And it's a command. And if we don't renew our minds, you know what that person is living? You're living in disobedience. Wow. Now, to purify your mind, you realize that you cannot purify your mind directly. You cannot. The only way you can purify your mind is through watching your thinking. Because whatever is in your mind, in your physical brain, that will flow into your heart. And out of your heart, you make the issues of life. your behavior, everything about you comes out of your heart. Not the one that pumps blood, but that which is between the soul and the spirit. And you cannot stop it. And as I said before, I'll say it again, that when it comes to the Word of God, we've got to put the Word of God in our heads. And anything that's in your head that's contrary to the Word of God, it's got to go. It's got to be put in a dumpster. And the Bible says this, a double-minded, and this is in James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Unstable. You know why you're a person who has not renewed his mind? You see, in your spirit, you have the mind of Christ. The scriptures tell us this. We have the mind of Christ. Not only do we have the mind of Christ in our spirit, but we also have a mind up here. Now, if this mind is corrupt by pornography and all kinds of sins, that flows into your heart. But also the spirit, the mind of Christ that's in your spirit, that flows into your heart. So we have the pure, wonderful mind of Christ flowing into our heart. Then if we haven't renewed our mind, then the polluted thoughts of our mind, that flows into the heart. And you know what? You have an impure heart. Wow. Let me ask you this. Let's say that you haven't had a drink of water for 2 or 3 days. And so I said, I'll get you a cup of water. So I go to the refrigerator, and lo and behold, I only got a half a cup. And so what I do, I go to the toilet, and I dip up some water and put it in the cup. You want to drink it? And that's exactly what happens to a person's mind. You have the pure mind of Christ. If you're born from above, you have the pure mind of Christ flowing into your heart. But then if you're watching pornography or whatever sin it may be, and you have it in your mind, that flows into your heart. And what do you get? You get a polluted heart. That's why the Bible says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Two minds. We got two minds. Now the point is this. If you obey Jesus, obey the Word of God, Romans 12:2, and you say, I am going to renew my mind. That's a choice. I'm going to renew it. Then you get rid of all the thoughts that contradict the Word of God. Out. Gone. And then you have the pure mind of Christ in your spirit, and they're both flowing into your heart. What do you have? You have a pure heart. But all it takes is just one impure thought to contaminate your heart, just like that cup, glass of water I gave you. If I just put a few drops of raw sewage, you wouldn't drink it. It's polluted. Just a couple of drops of raw sewage? Mm-hmm. It's the same way. Just one thought that's from the world or from the devil or from the flesh goes into your heart, and it pollutes your heart. And then what kind of choices do you make? Polluted choices. Polluted choices. And that's why so many of God's people who are born from above have made such terrible, terrible, terrible choices. Because they made choices from a polluted heart. Notice what it says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. This is from 4 translations. With all diligence and watchfulness, guard your heart, for out of it flow all the actions of life. Guard your heart. But you can't guard it directly. You can only guard it indirectly by watching your thoughts. And why is it so sadly so many ministers are going into sin? Because it starts with the thought. And it went into their heart. And it polluted their heart. And all kinds of negative things happen. Notice what it says again. I'm going to read this again. In Proverbs 4:23. with all diligence and watchfulness, guard your heart. That's you and me. For out of it flow all the issues of life. And then it says in Proverbs 23:7, wow, wow, wow. What a verse. For as a man thinks in it, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Whatever you think, that's what you are. That's why God, that's why God told Joshua and also in Psalms 1, meditate, 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 meditate. You know what meditating is? Meditating is digesting, the spiritual digestion of the word of God. God didn't say eat, eat, eat. No, he said meditate. And what God was saying to Joshua is digest, digest, digest my word. Because when you digest your word, it becomes you. You know, if Jesus was the head of the body, he was the head and he said, I am truth. And you are the body. What should you be? You should be truth. And the only way you can become truth is to meditate on the word of God. Meditate day and night. That's about all I do, by the way. Ooh, it's amazing. Positively amazing. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let me read to you Romans 12:2. I've quoted it to you, but here's what from various translations said. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the complete renewal of your mind so that you may prove for yourselves that all of God's decisions for you are good, acceptable, and perfect. So when you have a renewed mind, then all the things that happen to you, it will your senses will pick, your five senses will pick up. Boy, that's good. That's acceptable. That's perfect. Your five senses will pick it up. Wow. Now remember, everything I'm teaching you, I want you to go and teach others. Okay? Don't keep it to yourself. And then it says this, it's up to you to renew your mind. Oh, so many people, there's a song that says that, it goes like this, that when, it took a miracle for God to make creation, and then it says, and when he saved my soul, 100% error. God does not save our souls. God, when it comes to your newly created spirit, that is spiritual. That's 100% out of God. You're a newly created spirit. The body will receive either at the resurrection or the rapture. That will be 100% spiritual. But your soul is up to you. That's why God says, renew your mind. He didn't say, bring me your mind and I'll renew it. No. He says, you renew it. But God has provided what we need, the Word and the Holy Spirit. And we use those two things to renew our minds. Oh, I beg you. I beg you. Renew your mind. Because if you don't, then the corruption will go into your heart and your life will be miserable. It's amazing. Amazing. And that's why in Isaiah, clear back in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7, it says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Clear back in Isaiah, God was so saying, renew your mind. Indirectly, he was saying that. And then in Mark 8:35, and this is from the King James and also from the Greek, and this is Mark 8:35. For whosoever will save his soul, the King James says life, that's wrong. That's a poor translation. It's not life. Jesus used the word psuche. Say it, folks, psuche. Say it again, psuche. And we get the word psychology and psychiatry from it. So Jesus actually said in the Greek, he said this, for whosoever will save his soul shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his soul for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. God, what Jesus was saying there, I want you to lose your soul. I want you to lose your will. What I want, me. It's up to me. I'm number one. God said, lose it. Amen. And Jesus lost his at the Garden of Gethsemane when he says, Father, if it be possible, let this thing come pass from. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Right there, the will of Jesus died. And God said, I want you to, your will to die, what you want. That's number one. God said, I want you, your soul, that's your mind. God said, I want you to lose your mind. the mind of the flesh, the mind of the devil, the mind of the world. Lose it. Wow. And you know, he leaves it up to you. You when it comes to it, you are the savior of your soul, not God. Isn't that something? That means we got to work at it. That means we've got to make a choice. And God in his love, you see, the Bible tells us that God is love. You know one aspect of love? One aspect of love is this, that the person you love, you allow them to make their own choices. When I had my wonderful wife, I allowed her to make her own choices. Now, if I loved myself, I would say, you do what I say. You understand? I'm so sorry I married you. That's what I love myself. But when I love her, I allow her to do her will. And that's what exactly what God is love. And so God says, I want you. You make the choice. If you want to go to heaven, make the choice. If you want to go to hell, make the choice. If you want a renewed mind, make the choice. God so easily could force us, everybody, to go to heaven. But he won't do that. That would make us puppets. And that would make him like a dictator. But God is love. And so he allows us to choose. About 40, just a little over 42 years ago, 40 years ago, I made the choice. And you know what? I was in the church building by myself. And the Spirit was speaking to me. And I said, I was alone. I said, I'm going to master this book to the best of my ability. That was about 42 years ago. And I've been true to that ever since. Amen. That was the time I made my choice to renew my mind. And you, tonight, you need to make that choice to renew your mind. And you say, well, I'll make the choice later. Well, you just made a choice. You're not going to renew your mind. And I trust and pray all of you, because of my love for you, that you will make that choice. Jesus, I am going to renew my mind. And everything that's evil and from the world and from the devil is going to go out of my mind in the name of Jesus. Well, praise God. So God says, lose your mind, lose your soul. And then the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing which exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Anything that's contrary to the word of God, go in the name of Jesus. I don't care what it is. And you know something? If people would have a renewed mind, there wouldn't be any divorces. So we ought to cast these things down. And then the Bible said this, and that's in Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was he talking about? Well, he was talking about this mind. Let this mind be in you, let this mind be up here, which is also in Christ Jesus. And his mind is in here, but you let his mind be up here. And when you do, you live a life of perfection. There'll be no mistakes, no sin. Wow, what a way to live. And it's all up to you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Well, it is in your spirit, but it's not up here until you make the choice it's going to be. Are you following me? Now, the Bible also says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, we who are spiritual, 100% under God, we have the very mind of Christ. No, I told you that I want you, all of you, to go and disciple people in your personal world. Go and disciple them as the Spirit leads you. But you say, you know, I haven't been to Bible college. I don't know. I'm so dumb and everything. Oh, my, it's terrible. I got the answer for you. In Colossians 2 and 3, it says, Christ in whom are hidden from view all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Can you imagine that? All, not some, not a few, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Jesus. But where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? In us, that what's in you. You think he stripped off all of his wisdom and all of his knowledge and he came into you, you know, with a low IQ? No, he brought all of that wisdom and knowledge with him, and it's in you. Wow. But it tells us in the Bible that it's hidden in Christ. Christ in whom are hidden. It's hidden. And all that wisdom and knowledge that is in everyone who's born from above, it's also hidden in you. Let it out. Stop saying you're dumb. Can you imagine what the IQ of your spirit is? Woo! It'd go off the charts. When I was in the high school, I used to test students for IQ tests. I gave them the IQ test. Boy, with the IQ that you have in your spirit, it's out of this world. You know all things. That's exactly what the Bible says. This is in 1 John 2:20. And you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You say, I don't believe it. Okay, God's a liar. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. I don't believe that. But you see, it's hidden in you. It's in your spirit. It's there. Isn't that something? Boy, I'm smart. We all are. If you're born from above, you are. You have all that knowledge. Not you're going to get it. You have it. You know all things. There are many times this has happened to me. I have kind of a problem around the house, and I don't know what to do, so I just sit back and meditate. And first thing, it comes. It just comes. Out of nowhere. Yeah, not out of nowhere, out of the spirit. It works. Oh, you. 1 John 2:20. I know all things. Say it. I know all things. And that's not a lie. That's not psychology to make you feel good. That's truth. Whew. What more do you want? Wow. For it tells us also in Colossians 2:9, for in Christ the Godhead in all its fullness dwells in human body. In Christ is all the fullness of the Godhead. But where's Jesus? In you. All the fullness of God is in you. But you say, why do so many people who are born from above live such corrupt lives? An unrenewed mind. And you could be living that kind of a life, the Zoe life of God. And then it tells us in Colossians 2:10, it's another lie. It's another lie, okay? And you are complete in him who is the authority over all authorities and the same thing, supreme power over all powers. You are complete. Nah, not me. I miss this. No, I don't believe that. Unbelief. God's a liar, huh?
No.
You're complete. If you're born from above, your newly created spirit is complete. Yeah. Now get that mind to be in harmony with this. And then you'll be complete not only in your spirit, but also in your outward living. It's up to you. Right. Nobody can make it. So, amen. I'm going to sing you a little song. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in my Lord. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in my Lord. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in my Lord. And I am complete in him. Complete, complete, complete in him. I am complete in him. Complete, complete, complete in him. I am complete in him. Can you sing it now? The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in my Lord. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in my Lord. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in my Lord. And I am complete in him. Complete, complete, complete in him. I am complete in him. Complete, complete, complete in him. I am complete in him. Whew. Wow. And again, this is not psychology to make you feel good. It's the truth. You're complete. You know, if I went and bought a brand new car and I paid cash for it, and I brought it home, and I opened the car door on the driver's side, and I noticed there's a hole and there's not a screw. I would take that car back and say, listen, I paid for a complete car, and there's a screw missing in my door. I want a complete car. They put it in. Then I have a complete car. You know something? You don't even have a screw missing. You're complete. And it's not just Joseph that says that. It's the Word of God says that. And you know what the Word of God said in Hebrews 3:12? It says, be careful, brothers, that there is never found in any one of you a wicked and evil heart of unbelief. Unbelief is evil and wicked. I don't believe God. I think the worst thing that you could ever say to me, and I mean it's on my, you know, I don't believe you. That thing be the worst thing that a person can. I don't trust you. I have no confidence in you. And how about God? God, you said it. I believe it. I can't. Just like that. All that wisdom and knowledge is hidden in Jesus. It's also hidden, as I said. It's hidden in you, but it's still there. How many of you have seen your brain? It's still there. Amen. It's still there. And there's a lot of things in us that we can't see, but the five senses, but they're there. You know why they're there? Because God says so. Amen. God said so. Know what it says in 1 John 5:10? The man who will not believe God is actually in this way calling God a liar because he is deliberately refusing to accept what God has said. I don't want any of you to be called God a liar. Please, no, he's not a liar. Even though you can't see it and so on, it's still there. And the Bible says in Romans 3:4, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. And then in Philemon chapter verse 6, it says this, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you that your union with Christ brings. You have to acknowledge it. If you don't acknowledge it, it'll just be there. What, you know, if you needed money and I go in and I put $10,000 in your bank account and I tell you, I put in $10,000, I don't believe you, Joseph. And so what do you do? You live in poverty when you have $10,000 in the bank. You've got to acknowledge it. It's the same way with us. We've got, Lord, even though I can't see it, I believe your word. All wisdom and all knowledge is in me. I am a complete person in the name of Jesus. Whew. What more do you want? Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. Praise God. And you know to acknowledge, you know, a synonym for acknowledge, it means to admit it, to confess it, to declare it, to recognize it. We have to, like in Philemon verse 6, we have to acknowledge every good thing that is in us through Christ. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. You realize now, may I say this? God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it for me. God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it for me. Though some may doubt that his word is truth, but I've chosen to believe it. Now, how about you? God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it for me. Praise God. Now, all this I've said tonight comes down to one thing, a choice. A choice. And did you know, realize that you, all of us, you are the sum total of all your past choices. I was just 16 years old when I received Jesus. And that was 76 years ago. But that choice has changed my entire life. And it's the same way, the choice that you make tonight, by the grace of God, I am going to renew my minds by the grace of God in Jesus' name. And it's a choice. It's a choice. I want you to notice when Deuteronomy, and you have the that verse of scripture, I gave it to you. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, it says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your seed may live. God says, choose life. Choose a renewed mind. Choose to be born from above. Choose it. It's a choice. You know, some people say, you know, salvation is a gift. Salvation is not a gift. Salvation is not a gift. Because I, for example, I gave you that chart tonight. That was a gift. Was anything required of you? Nothing. When you give a gift, nothing is required of the recipient. And salvation is not a free gift. Because if salvation is a free gift, everybody that's ever been born would go to heaven. But it's not. There's something we've got to do. We've got to confess with our heart, mouth, and believe in our heart. Then we're born from above. If we're not, we won't be born from above. Are you following me? So salvation is not a gift. There's something required of people. And so it's the same way here. God requires a choice on our part. Lord, I am going to renew my mind. And may I say this, I hope and pray that all of you, and if you have made that choice in the past, it would be wonderful to come to the altar and kneel before your Heavenly Father and before Jesus and reemphasize, Lord, I did renew my mind. I made that choice so many years ago. You've got to make that choice. And not to make a choice, if you say, oh, no, I'm not going to do that, then you made the choice. You're not going to do it. And there are negative consequences. And I pray that you will. Could we stand then, please? And may I say, emphasize again, as the Spirit leads you, go and teach your disciples in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Father God, I do thank you that you've given us your pure word, that what we are to do with your word, it should be in our minds, Father, that it will not conflict with the mind of Christ that's in our spirit. I pray, Lord, that as the people come tonight to the altar and kneel before you, Lord, that they will either make that choice. I am going to renew my mind from this day forward in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your word. Amen and amen. Will you come, please? And let's go to the altar and say, Lord, I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My mind is going to be a God mind, a word mind from this day forward. From October the 12th, 2016, Father, I'm making this choice right now. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to carry it through in everything that's not according to your word, but contrary to your word, I command it to leave my body in Jesus' name. Leave my head in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to obey you, Lord. I'm going to obey Romans 12, 2. I'm going to obey it, Lord. I'm going to obey. And you've given that command because you love us. You love us. You don't want us to be destroyed. But Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. From now on, I'm going to have a renewed mind. I'm going to have a pure heart. Pure, just like the heart of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. It's a choice, Lord, that I willingly make. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. It's up to me, Lord, to save my soul. Lord, and I'm going to save my soul. It's going to be saved. It's going to be pure in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that these people will go and teach others what they've heard tonight, Lord. Lord, that they may be a blessing to other people, other Christians, other people who are born from above, Lord. They need to know this truth, that the salvation of their soul is up to them. But you have provided all we need, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the wisdom that's in us, the wisdom and the knowledge, and we are complete in you. You have said it, Lord, and I believe it. I claim it in Jesus' name. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, what you've done for us, Lord Jesus. Thank you for these people. They'll never be the same again. With a renewed mind, that perfect mind of Christ flowing into their heart. Father, thank you, Jesus, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.